VCY America presents Crosstalk, a nationwide call-in program discussing issues that have an effect on our families, our communities, our churches, our nation, and our world. Crosstalk, an opportunity for you to voice your concerns for biblical principles. And now live by satellite and around the world on the internet at vcyamerica.org. Here is today's Crosstalk.
Friends, thank you for joining us on Crosstalk here on VCY America. And today we'd like to welcome new listeners to Crosstalk in North Las Vegas, listening over 104.3 FM. This is radio station KVPH, your Christian voice proclaiming hope. A special welcome to you tuning in at noon local time in Las Vegas for the program Crosstalk, coming your way each and every weekday as we cover a number of issues from a biblical worldview. We're so glad that you've joined us again, 104.3 listeners out of North Las Vegas. A reminder to our listeners, though, in Arizona, Florida, Illinois, Kansas, and Ohio, that today, March 19th, is Election Day, and we do encourage you to be knowledgeable of all the issues on your ballot and to go and vote prayerfully. It's my position that your vote is a stewardship that you have and accountable before God for that, and so we encourage you to vote wisely and to vote prayerfully. Well, friends, we have shared with you in the past about the World Economic Forum meetings earlier this year, warning of disease X, a disease which we have been warned is 20 times deadlier than COVID, and they're already in vaccine development. Well, it bears the question, how can we prepare a vaccine for something we don't even know what it is? Well, in any regard, we have indicated that COVID, the lockdowns, the treatments, the maskings, the protocols all seem to be nothing more than a dress rehearsal for the next outbreak of something bigger yet. And so that was warned to us about disease X that's coming through. Well, our guest today, though, is Ben Still not wanting us to forget the protocols that happened with COVID, even as preparations are being made for something bigger. But we must remember, and what is the purpose? What is the role of those protocols? So we're going to get into a number of issues with our guest today. Scott Shera is with us. He is the father of Grace Shera. Grace, his 19-year-old daughter with Down syndrome, tested positive for COVID, hospitalized, treated following the protocols carried out in hospitals across the country. Grace was ushered into eternity October 13th, 2021. Scott has been with us previous on the program, going into great detail as to what transpired, and you can go back to crosstalkamerica.com to listen to those. But Scott is presently engaged in a landmark lawsuit, Shera versus Ascension Health et al. He warns about the dangers of incentivized health care. His work and story have been chronicled in a chapter of the Wall Street Journal bestseller, Rise of the Fourth Reich. Scott, thank you for joining us here today on Crosstalk.
It's my pleasure to be here, Jim. Thank you.
So, Scott, as I mentioned, we've got many, many new listeners since you were last with us and since you shared the story about your daughter, Grace. And I believe it's important, if you could, just as brief as possible, summarize Grace's story. Let's begin with her contracting COVID.
So we believe that she contracted COVID sometime in late September of 2021. We had bought into the propaganda relative to COVID. So when we were planning on going to a wedding on October 1st, we thought it was our duty to find out if Grace did have COVID, so we didn't go to the wedding. So my wife, Cindy, went into town, got a home COVID test. We tested her on October 1st. She tested positive, and so consequently, we didn't go to the wedding, but I had already at home ivermectin and vitamins and a pulse ox, all the things necessary that we thought were necessary to take care of COVID. Ultimately, Grace's oxygen saturation dropped to 88% the morning of October 6th, and we were led to believe by the protocol that we were following that that required a hospital stay, and you know, that's where things went downhill pretty quick, Jim.
Yes, they went downhill. Yet she was doing well in the hospital. And what kind of breathing apparatus did she have at that time?
Well, she started just on a regular cannula, but the process that they put you through in a hospital is to ratchet up your FEER. And, of course, we need oxygen, but Grace ended up on what's called a Vapotherm, which is a high-flow cannula, then on a BiPAP, and, you know, ultimately, in spite of all those treatments, she was still doing fine going into and including the morning of her last day on Earth, October 13th of 2021. But what there was a real push for, and it still is a push, the public health emergencies have been extended through the end of 2028 to plan for this next scamdemic. But the real push that we learned of during COVID was to push a ventilator. And the doctor called my wife, Cindy, and I the morning of October 13th, asking us for the fifth time for a pre-authorization for a ventilator. And we said no for the fifth time. During that same call, he said, Grace had such a good day yesterday. Let's work on nutrition. As we have gone into the lawsuit now, we overlay the phone call records with the medical records, and we see that. And one other thing I'll mention, Jim, is during the call, he said, let's get Grace out of bed. Let's get everything working so she can get home in the next 3-4 days. Well, unbeknownst to us at that time, he had already ordered Grace to be strapped down to the bed, defecate in the bed before the call. So he had no intention of getting her out of bed. While we were on the call, he increased the dose of a sedation med called Presidex to the maximum allowable dose. While we were on the call, simultaneous with hanging up the phone, he put an illegal do not resuscitate order on Grace's chart. And after that, they proceeded to combine Presidex with lorazepam and morphine. These are not COVID protocols. These are protocols designed to hasten death. These are things that you use to end somebody's life when they're in hospice care. They combined those meds in a 29-minute window, which none of us would have survived. And when it came time to revive Grace, the medical staff refused because of the illegal do not resuscitate order put on Grace's chart.
And I want to emphasize this, illegal because you as her medical power of attorney did not authorize this. Your wife did not authorize this. Her sister, who also had sat by her bedside, did not authorize this. Grace, who is with Down syndrome, 19 years old, she did not authorize this. That's why you're calling this illegal. The doctor, what you're saying, you're telling us that the doctor placed this DNR order on her life.
That's correct.
Wow. Now, Grace's life did pass because she could not survive that drug cocktail. Is that correct?
That's right. That's 100% true.
So you have received Grace's death certificate. What is listed as a cause of death?
Interestingly, they have two causes of death. The first cause of death is acute respiratory failure with hypoxemia. And if you looked at the Presidex package insert, which is essentially the warning label for every drug has one, you'll see that if you use Presidex for more than 24 hours, it causes acute respiratory failure. So the first cause of death listed on her death certificate is accurate, and they caused it because they had Grace on Presidex for 5 days. This is all without our knowledge or informed consent. Well, then the second cause of death listed is COVID-19 pneumonia. That's a flat-out lie, as you can tell by how I explained how Grace died. Mm-hmm. But by putting COVID-19 pneumonia on the death certificate, the hospital receives a death bonus of $13,000.
So, and this is something you've documented, that the hospital got this bonus because of putting the COVID-19 pneumonia on her certificate?
Not relative to Grace's case, but my research has shown there's public documents now that show the bonus payments that were made to hospitals for a COVID diagnosis, a ventilator, remdesivir, and a number of the emergency use authorization drugs that were with COVID. But the death certificate specifically, what that does is not only facilitate a bonus to the hospital, but there's an attempt to get the government as the good guy to the parents. So we were offered a $9,000 bonus, if you want to call it, towards Grace's burial expenses. And we refused that money, of course, because, you know, my wife instantly said, we don't want their dirty money. Because you're essentially agreeing that your daughter died of this when you take that money. So it's part of the whole process they use to deceive us with the COVID psyop.
Well, you have since filed a lawsuit against, and the medical provider is Ascension Health, is that correct?
Yes.
Okay.
The specific hospital is St. Elizabeth's Hospital in Appleton, Wisconsin.
And you have filed a lawsuit against Ascension Health. I believe it's Shera versus Ascension Health at all. We know a lot of lawsuits, Scott, have been dismissed, but not yours. What is the basis for your suit?
Well, the basis for the suit, we also, I just want to explain, we also filed against the five doctors and two nurses who were directly responsible for Grace's death. And the reason we took that extraordinary path is because, even though it's a much more expensive lawsuit because you have now we have eight defendants, but if you think about if a hospital just receives a slap on the hand, which is writing a check for a lawsuit, that doesn't stop the behavior. Individuals chose, and in order to stop behavior, individuals have to be held to account. So that's why we did that. We have five separate claims in our lawsuit. We have a wrongful death claim, of course. We have a medical malpractice claim, of course. We have a lack of informed consent. And we have a declaratory judgment for both the illegal DNR and the illegal med combination. But the fifth claim is the most important, which we have, and this is why our case is trailblazing, potentially, assuming that we win, is we have a medical battery claim. And that medical battery claim takes Grace's case outside of the state statutes. It's a common law claim. The state statutes attempt succinctly to put a shield around doctors and nurses so you can't sue them. So to be able to get a medical battery claim that's outside of the statutes is critical and will facilitate a number of other cases, assuming that we win.
So there was a matter in which I believe Ascension Health then sought to dismiss this claim. Is that correct?
There's been four different motions to dismiss so far by the various defense attorneys. And when you peel back the later layers of the motions to dismiss, you really get a peek into how statutes have been written so that these hospitals and doctors really are shielded with liability protection. And I'll give you a few. One of them was quite interesting. You know, I've read all these documents. I'm intimately involved with the legal team. And so the first thing they said regarding the illegal DNR, this was in the very first motion to dismiss, the defense attorney wrote, quote, "The DNR order should be dismissed because the issue is not ripe for adjudication and or the issue is moot, because Grace Shera, the subject of the order, is deceased." So, you know, dead people have no rights, apparently. So you can do whatever you want. And you read that stuff, and it falls into the category that you can't make this up. Mm-hmm. Then what this framing, so this was an attempt to get the judge to throw out the case. I'm going to quote one more thing out of this motion to dismiss. This attorney wrote, quote, "The legislature's purpose in enacting a statutory scheme to govern claims for damages arising out of alleged medical negligence was to encourage healthcare providers to remain in Wisconsin, and by imposing certain limits on the causes of action that a patient or a family can pursue and the types and amount of damage that can be recovered." So you can see just by that wording, they're trying to get the judge to see we can't sue doctors. They won't practice in our state.
Isn't that amazing? Friends, we're going to take a quick break. We're talking with Scott Shearer today, who is exposing medical collusion, telling us the Grace Shearer story. We'll be back in 1 minute. This is Crosstalk on VCY America.
Back to Genesis with Dr. John Morris, popular creation speaker with the Institute for Creation Research. Dr. Morris, did Noah's Ark have to contain two of every species we find on planet Earth today?
Not at all, Chris. In fact, this is a straw man argument used by those who really don't believe in Noah's Ark at all. The Bible says that God created each basic type of animal after its kind, and that Noah was to bring two of each kind of animal on board the ark. Kind would be represented by the basic categories of animals today, such as the dog kind. Within the dog kind, there are several species. That's the wolves and the foxes and the coyotes and the dingoes. They are called species, but they're all interfertile. They're all part of the dog kind. There was plenty of room on board the ark for two of each of these various kinds of land-dwelling, air-breathing animals. The Bible story holds water, as it were. We read about it when we go back to Genesis.
For more on creation, visit our website at www.icr.org.
You're listening to Crosstalk on VCY America. We're talking with Scott Shera today. Father of Grace Shera, his 19-year-old daughter, Down syndrome, tested positive for COVID, hospitalized. They use the protocols that are carried out in hospitals all across the country. Grace could not survive those protocols, nor could anybody else who would receive that medicinal cocktail be able to survive that. And Grace went home to be with the Lord on October 13th of 2021. But Scott is saying you've messed with the wrong girl and has devoted his life to research and advocacy as to what not only happened to his daughter, but what is happening to individuals all across this nation. And has filed a lawsuit that is Shera versus Ascension Health et al. And we're talking about that right now. Scott, you had mentioned there had been motions to dismiss. And that last motion that you just talked about, in essence, if we allow people to sue doctors, then they won't practice in the state of Wisconsin. So therefore, we can't allow this to move forward. I mean, how ridiculous is that?
Well, of course, I agree, and you know, there's a much bigger issue. I want to get into our attorney's response to the motions, and I think you'll see how we did this. But you know, I want to just explain the big picture for a minute, and I'm going to start with COVID. During COVID, there were 1.2 million murders in American hospitals. 1.2 million. So that number might seem large or small to anybody listening, but I'm going to explain, it's huge. In fact, out of all 200 countries on the planet, we were number one in the entire world. And number two was the country of India, whose population is four times that of the United States, and yet their hospital death count was only 531,000. So that gives you a clue that something's going on here. Well, as I peeled back the layers, I saw that this has nothing to do with COVID. COVID simply exposed incentivized health care, but incentivized health care has been around at least since the early 80s through what's called standards of care. So standards of care were developed, you know, they lied to us, Jim, saying that we need to control costs. But what they did was they codified standards of care written by the Centers for Medicaid Services for the entire country. And the Center for Medicaid Services has written these standards of care that specifically hasten our death. They shorten our life. And the cancer standard of care is a great example. Cancer has literally been cured for most cancers, yet the standard of care says cut radiation or chemo. And we've been programmed to accept those standards of care. And the doctors only get paid if they follow those standards of care. And they have liability protection if they follow those standards of care. So that's the bigger problem. And I want to get into our attorney's response. But first, if you have a question.
Yeah, and I wanted to, I looked at your site and you just use a term right now. You state medical murder is the number one cause of death in the United States by design. Some would say your use of the word murder is too strong, that it's too sensational. How do you respond to that?
Yeah, I wish more people would ask that question. It's not sensational at all, because hastening death is murder. And I'll give you a very specific example, drilling down the cancer situation. If you or I got cancer today, if we have bought into the system, we've already decided to have medical insurance. And so we go, we're not feeling well, the doctor does a biopsy, he has an appointment with us, and we're programmed to trust the white coat. So we go in and see the white coat, and he says, well, your biopsy shows that you have cancer. The good news is I can get you scheduled for your chemo treatment next week. And we instantly are programmed to say one thing, which is, does my insurance cover it? And he puts his arm around you and says, yes, your insurance covers it. And we just signed our death certificate by doing that. The best thing that people could do is completely eliminate all medical insurance. So you start thinking independently. So when something happens to you, you use your head instead of relying on the program choices. These program choices hasten death, and hastening death is murder. There's no ifs, ands, or buts about it.
Wow. Wow. So no exaggeration going on, not sensationalism, but I mean, this is coming from the heart as it relates to calling this medical murder.
That's exactly right. I mean, at the point I did the medical murder series, Jim, I had 2,500 hours of research into that topic. Mm-hmm. I had so much information, I decided to put it out into a series, which it ended up being a 7-part series because the research is so exhaustive. So I went through who's involved, what is the who, what, where, why, how, when, and then now that you understand that medical murder is by design, now what are you going to do about it? And that's part 7.
Wow, wow. And before I go on, how can our listeners see that 7-part series or hear it?
If you go to Grace's main website, which is ouramazinggrace.net, on the front page on the left-hand side, there's a tab that you can click on and it will take you to the series that I've posted on all the, you know, Rumble and all the major platforms.
Again, friends, that's ouramazinggrace.net, ouramazinggrace.net. Okay, so you brought the lawsuit. There's motions to dismiss. How did your attorneys respond to those claims that were made?
Well, I want to praise God that we have a legal team that cares about this case second to only my wife, myself, and my daughter. They have been fantastic to work with. So I'm working with them on a regular basis, you know, sometimes whole days at a time because of how intense this lawsuit is. What they did in response, I thought was brilliant. So we've had two hearings so far. We had one on July 28th last year, then we had one on October 30th. And in order to respond to the motions to dismiss, they file a public document called a brief in opposition. So I'm going to read from the brief in opposition 3 points to have people understand how important it is to frame your case properly. So the first thing they did was write, I'm going to quote and then explain why they did it this way. Quote, in analyzing the motions, the court should accept all allegations in plaintiff's amended complaint as true. The complaint is only insufficient if it appears to be a certainty that no relief can be granted under any set of facts which plaintiff could prove. So that seems like pretty boilerplate, but what it is it's putting the judge on notice that you have to follow the rule of law. And the rule of law says it's on the plaintiff, that's me, to prove his case. And you have to accept everything that we wrote in the complaint as true. And when you accept all that as true, you can't throw out the case unless there's no way we could possibly win. Mm-hmm. And the judge saw that, yes, that is his responsibility. And so this doesn't mean, you know, because he ruled in our favor, doesn't mean he's in favor of the case. He just ruled in favor of the rule of law, which is critical that we come back to that. You know, when you and I grew up, Jim, there's always difference between liberals and conservatives, but everybody operated between the guideposts, the rule called the rule of law. We just had a different way to skin the cat. Mm-hmm. But now their attitude is flagrant. Just sue us. And the reason they say that they're acting that way is because they know we can't. You know, it's near impossible to sue these people. So I'm going to go through a second point in what they wrote. And what they did here is differentiate between lack of informed consent and a common law battery. So lack of informed consent, two words, the doctor informs you, and then you give consent, right? So that just would be a natural way people would expect to work with a doctor. So here's what they wrote to separate out the battery. Quote, imagine a physician who fails to fully inform a patient about the risks of a leg amputation, but the patient does agree to have his leg amputated. This violates the duty to obtain informed consent under state statute. So you can picture this, the doctor just didn't give full disclosure and something happens, that's a violation of informed consent. All right, now I'm back to the quote. Now imagine a physician who amputates a patient's leg without obtaining consent or even telling the patient or the patient's family what he's doing. So that's what happened with Grace. And in this case, removing the patient's power of attorney, that was me, and parent from the hospital first, that is a battery. So they're differentiating the lack of informed consent to a battery. Mm-hmm. And the reason is because through prior court cases, which are called precedent, medical lack of informed consent has been subsumed under medical malpractice. So we had to have a common law battery claim outside of that. Otherwise, the state statutes limit the amount of liability, and the physician has insurance to cover all of his legal bills and everything. So he literally has no skin in the game.
Right. So has any aspect of your lawsuit been dismissed at all?
Nothing's been dismissed.
Okay, so so trial is set for later this year, correct?
Yes, the jury selection is the day before the presidential election, November 4th, and then we're off for the 5th, and the trial gets going on November 6th. So that's where we're at now. We're preparing for the trial. We've got depositions coming up in May. It's a lot of work in the it's called the discovery phase, but yeah, it's going well.
So is there anything you're free to share at this time about the discovery?
I wish there was more to share. I mean, what we've had is interrogatory so far, you know, and the interrogatories there, it actually, you would hardly believe, you know, what you see in the interrogatories. I mean, they basically deny everything. They put the blame on me, which there is blame to be put on me. But that's, you know, the blame to be put on me is not because, you know, they're saying that because Grace wasn't vaccinated, because we wouldn't approve a ventilator. Those are all, those are not related to what they did with Grace in the hospital.
Mm-hmm. You also have indicated, and I've looked at some of your materials, that there's use the term collusion from the top down. And earlier you talked about being the medical murder, the number one cause of death in the U.S. by design. So I'd like you to comment on that as well, Scott. This by design and the collusion from the top down, define that for us. Who is at the top? What is that top level, and how is that filtering down?
The top level is Satan. And so Satan's always been against God. And so what does that look like? This is a battle for souls. So if he can shorten our life through a population reduction agenda, that fits like a glove. So what did he do? He sold the idea of eugenics to the globalists a long time ago. I mean, eugenics has been around before Jesus walked the face of the earth. But modern eugenics was started by the United States in the early 1900s. And it was in the early 1900s, their purpose was to sterilize the disabled population so they couldn't reproduce. Well, Hitler took the eugenics program to the next level, but the United States, which we have been very good at over time, is pointing our finger at Hitler and at the same time committing an even greater sin. So through Operation Paperclip, Jim, we brought back the top 1,600 German eugenicists to the United States to take eugenics to a higher level. And so you think that that's not happening. I'm going to jump forward to what they have done.
Again, let me just pause you right there, because we're 15 seconds from the break and we're just going to get into it. Scott Scheer is with us here today on Crosstalk. And again, our topic today, exposing medical collusion, the Grace Scheer story. And Scott is her dad and sharing with us today on the broadcast. Let me give you a couple of websites, friends. That is ouramazinggrace.net, ouramazinggrace.net. You can also look at graceschera.com, S-C-H-A-R-A, graceschera.com. We'll be back in 1 minute. You're listening to Crosstalk on VCY America.
Our society is being influenced by the entertainment media, and we don't even realize it. Why is it that many Christians entertain themselves by watching movies or programs that take God's name in vain, or feature sensual activity on Saturday night, and then go to church on Sunday to praise His name? That's the underlying message in the DVD, Power of the Air, by Dave Cristiano. This moving story features a missionary from Africa who warns that the church in America is being deceived and in great danger. A Christian that hears this message is convicted and makes a significant change in his life and sets out a plan to reach his city with the gospel. Watch this story unfold in the DVD, Power of the Air. Available now for a donation of $18, call 1-800-729-9829. 1-800-729-9829.
You're listening to Crosstalk on VCY America, speaking with Scott Shera today, father of Grace Shera. And friends, if I could encourage you, if you want to really get more into the details on Grace's story and what happened step by step, we really did that. Sadly, it was just a few months after Grace passing. You can go to crosstalkamerica.com, crosstalkamerica.com, and in the search box there, just put in the word Shera, S-C-H-A-R-A. And you're going to find a program that was entitled Just Grace on January 5, 2022. You'll find that on our website. There's a couple other interviews. We did one in April of 2023 on informed consent hanging in the balance. And then also in July, this past July, Shera versus Ascension Health et al. And gets more into the lawsuit itself. But we're talking about the matter of the medical collusion that's going on. And it's not just something new, but it's something that is very active at work. And Scott, you introduced us to that word eugenics. And so I'd like you to, just before the break, you were just ready to go down that path, bringing up this topic of eugenics and collectivism. So go ahead and further explain that for us, if you would.
So let's define collectivism. Collectivism means that we have to worry about the good of the population versus the good of the individual. So how they pulled this off is they have given us free health care once we're 65. And for those who are disabled, they also get free health care. It's called Medicare and Medicaid. It's the ultimate bait and switch for those people who are 65 because they've paid for this their entire life. Then all of a sudden, they retire and the government wraps it up in a nice little bowl like they're giving us this free health care. Well, remember I said earlier, CMS, Center for Medicaid Services, write standards of care that are designed to hasten our death. Today in America, there's 135 million people on those two programs, according to CMS. That the number, the cost of those two programs, along with the related Social Security payments for those individuals, is $3 trillion a year. That's 50% of the annual federal budget. So their attitude is, we've got to do something about that. We've got to do something about the disabled and the elderly population under this spirit of collectivism. So what they have done, Jim, is they have created... It's very subtle. It's happened over time. They've created a culture of death. And as it applies to the elderly, I'll just give you some numbers. This will blow your mind away. In between 1960 and 2019, that's 59 years, the nursing care cost increased 216 times. So the banality of evil, banality means common, so evil becomes common. When you and I were kids, most people took care of their parents. Nobody put them in a assisted living or dementia center or nursing care facility. Now just about everybody does, and the 216-time increase in nursing care shows that. So it's out of sight, out of mind. We just don't want to deal with our elderly parents. With the disabled population, in Grace's case, as you mentioned, Grace had Down syndrome. 90% of Down syndrome individuals are murdered in the United States before they're ever born. Mm-hmm. And how does that happen? That happens through standards of care. The young couple goes into the doctor. He says, let's schedule an amniocentesis. And again, they only care if their insurance pays for it. So they just follow the white coat right to an abortion for their beautiful Down syndrome baby.
Yeah.
So this is what's going on. It's there. It's alive and well in the United States, and it is all part of the eugenics agenda.
Scott, Grace, 19 years old, Down syndrome, in the hospital with COVID at the time. In the morning, you were told she's doing great. She's gone by the end of the day. Do you believe, in your heart of hearts, Scott, do you believe that Grace was targeted?
I do believe she was targeted because some of the research that I found. I found a document. So if we go all the way back to March 23rd of 2010, that's the day Obamacare was passed. So this was a legal document that permitted euthanasia. If you look at Section 1553 of Obamacare, you'll see that it allows euthanasia. Well, then that doesn't make a doctor kill somebody. How do they do it? Well, they train them to do it. So I found a document, Jim, that was written in July of 2011. So this was, you know, 9 months after Obamacare was passed, and was written by the Palliative Care Network of Wisconsin. And it lays out the protocol to euthanize Down syndrome adults. And it's real stuff. I mean, in the protocol, just read one line out of the protocol. It says, whenever possible, decision makers, this is the doctors, for people with Down syndrome should be encouraged to use substituted judgment to make key palliative care decisions. All efforts should be made to determine the preferences of the patient. However, because of lifelong cognitive impairment, the views of the person with Down syndrome may not be known. Are you kidding me? I know the view of every person with Down syndrome. They want to live just like you and I do.
Right.
So why should the doctor get the ability to make you substitute judgment? In Grace's records, she was in the hospital 7 days. There were 22 doctors who visited her during the 7 days. In the 22 doctors' reports, they referenced that Grace had Down syndrome 36 different times. That doesn't make any sense. They would reference it one time, just like you would say, I'm a 60-year-old male. You'd say that one time. You don't have to say it every time unless you're targeting 60-year-old males.
Right. Wow. Scott, and friends, let me open our phone lines. You may have a question you'd like to ask of our guest today or a brief comment. Our number to Crosstalk, 800-733-9829. That's 1-800-733-9829. We're telling the story. We're taking it further. Of course, more has developed since you initially have been on Crosstalk. But, Scott, how can people across this country get engaged? I mean, the research you've done is just astounding. And you've put a lot of this research on the website. Is that correct?
I put everything on the website because, you know, I haven't copyrighted anything. I mean, just use it. I have all my PowerPoint presentations, everything on the website because I want people to be educated and use it. When I see documents, the reason I take it to documents, Jim, is because you can't unsee the documents. I don't like hearsay. I want to take it down to the actual document. And then when people see those documents, they become believers in what's happening. And so that's why I put it on the website. Please use it. I mean, people can copy whatever they want. It's all there for the taking.
And friends, you can do that. Again, that's ouramazinggrace.net, ouramazinggrace.net, and see the information there. But how can people across this country get engaged in what you're doing there? And I'm sure this has been a very expensive ordeal.
The main thing that we're asking is that people go to the second website that you mentioned, graceshara.com. Shara is S-C-H-A-R-A, and enter your name and email address. The reason is we're developing our own database because as we keep getting closer to the trial date, we know we're going to have calls to action. We're working on some bigger things right now that I can't talk about because we're just not there yet. But just from the trial date specifically, we want to be able to pack the courthouse every single day that the trial is going on. So we need to be able to get a hold of people to do that so that when we have rallies for the event that we can create the calls to action with email. Mm-hmm. You know, God has blessed us. And so I'm amazed at the doors he keeps opening, the doors that he opened in, you know, years back to be able to facilitate what we're doing now. I do want to go on. This is a very specific issue that I want to have people understand. So the best thing that you can do to get involved is to change your belief. Because if you believe that the system is for us, you're going to get duped just like we were. And I want to give a very specific example so that people understand. And it's the example of what informed consent is. So if you go to virtually every state constitution, you will see that we have a right to life and that every state's legislature can make no ex post facto law that would take away from that right. So when a state, and in Wisconsin, it happens to be state statute 448.30, when a legislature puts in a statute that seems good, you should wonder what's going on. Are they taking away my rights? So the informed consent statute, if you read it, you'll see it's very logical. But what is the reason it was even necessary? God wrote the informed consent statute in the Bible when he said, treat your neighbor as yourself. Shouldn't the doctor-patient relationship just be one of talking through choices and consequences so that you can be informed? I mean, that's how you'd want it to be. Why do we need a statute? Well, I'll tell you why they wrote the statute. They wrote the statute because if there's a violation, you file a complaint with the Department of Safety and Professional Services, which the medical examining board is underneath that department. So I did file a complaint, and the medical examining board came back and said the doctor did nothing wrong. I'm going to come back to that because a professional pharmacist did the same thing, Jim, against the same doctor, but her complaint was 100 pages long. She got the exact same form letter back that I did. The doctor did no wrong. Well, how is that possible? Mm-hmm. Because the medical examining board is made up of 10 doctors and 3 lay people. It would be like the traffic cop giving his buddy traffic cop a ticket for speeding. It's not going to happen.
Yeah.
And that's and their decision is not appealable.
My, you cannot appeal it. My.
Correct.
Lines are packed here, Scott. Let's go to Jeff in Menominee Falls, Wisconsin. Jeff, you're on the air.
I'm complete agreement with your guest. Also, the whole medical industry is just so corrupt. I'm wondering if you've got into some of the big ones like the cholesterol medications that are really just diluted rat poison, and it's just a big scam between the doctors and the drug companies, and it really does nothing to prevent heart disease.
Yeah, it's interesting that you mentioned that. I have personal experience with that situation because I found out I had heart disease 7 years ago and they wanted to put me on a statin. And as I dug into it, not only is the statin bad, but the whole idea of cholesterol being responsible for heart disease is a lie. And the cholesterol numbers, they tell you they want your cholesterol around 150. The real numbers to be healthy should be in excess of 300. So that it's all lies upon lies. That it started way back in 1910 with the Flexner report, but you know, I know we can't go into that detail right now.
Yeah, and then going a little afield from our main conversation. Thank you, Jeff, and I'm sure you'll find other research on the site. Layla is calling from Los Alamos, New Mexico. You're on the air.
Hi there. I would like to inform every American to not sign the supposed HIPAA consent form when you go to the doctor. I pulled a document that they wanted me to sign every time I go to the doctor. This one time I pulled it and I read it. It's actually allowing state, federal, city, county agencies to release your information to whoever they want. And that is supposedly a HIPAA form. Don't sign it on the little tablet thing like you do when you sign for your credit card and ask them to pull that form and you read it. And that is nothing to do with HIPAA.
Okay. Thank you. Scott, have you evaluated the HIPAA aspect?
Not the HIPAA aspect, but I do want to comment on what Layla said, because it's extremely important that you never sign the little tablet that they put in front of you. Always insist on the document. Cross off and initial anything that is inconsistent with your wishes. On Grace's main website, ouramazinggrace.net, we have a tab called Hospital Rescues, that we have forms that you can use to be to get into a hospital stay successfully.
Tell you what, we got to take a break. Back in 1 minute. You're listening to Crosstalk.
For the Worldview Report, I'm Brandon House. Our website is worldviewreport.com. Recently, I heard CBS report on something I wasn't sure I would ever hear, and that is on the red heifers in Israel. CBS News is reporting, indeed, what we have reported now for quite some time, the 5 red heifers that have gone from Texas to Israel. If one or more can be qualified as able to be sacrificed, this will be the ashes mixed with water that will purify a temple or a tabernacle. But even CBS acknowledged that the October 7th attack on Israel was related to these heifers. Listen.
In a recent speech, a Hamas spokesman blamed the Jews for bringing red cows to the Holy Land. The cows he's talking about at a secure, undisclosed location are these red heifers, to be precise. Some Jews and Christians believe they're the key to rebuilding the historic Jewish temple.
Amazing, my friends. Keep your eye on Israel and Jerusalem.
You're listening to Crosstalk on VCY America. Scott Scherer is with us here today and taking your calls on Crosstalk at 800-733-9829. The father of Grace Scherer, who died, the protocols were followed in the hospital, and it is the contention of the lawsuit that this is indeed what took Grace's life. Christine is calling from Wisconsin, and Christine, you're on the air.
Mr. Scherer, I've heard your story many times. I'm so grateful for what you're doing, sir. And I know it doesn't look like you need any help, but did you ever think of contacting Dr. Pierre Corey? Because, as you well know, I'm sure you know who he is, the war on ivermectin, and they destroyed him. One of the most prestigious doctors in Wisconsin, Madison, his credentials, he's highly credentialed. I'm sure you know who he is, sir. But did you ever think about getting together with him and have him, I mean, even a higher profile to your the situation?
That's a great question, Christine. The legal team is, we have our experts already lined up, but what they chose to do with experts is to not bring that attention to the case by getting nationally known experts. So that's why we haven't, you know, I have met Pierre Corey, talked with him personally, and, you know, I think he would do a fine job, but we've chosen to go a different route with the experts to be very pointed to what happened with Grace.
Mm-hmm. Thank you, Christine. Joe is next. You're on the air, Joe. Hello, Joe. You're on the air.
Yeah, it's kind of shocking that, you know, a doctor would order such a thing, and it's a bunch of nurses and people that are behind it as well on that. How do you handle it? I mean, I prayed for them before I called. Mm-hmm. I prayed for those guys, their souls. You know, that the devil must think they're real valuable to make them do stuff like that. And God must really love them because I prayed for them.
So how do you deal with it, Scott? I mean, especially with all the research that you have found here.
Yeah, that's a fantastic question. It's another question I wish people would ask more about. You know, God had to break me of the desire for revenge in this situation, and he did that when I went into a different hospital 3 days after Grace died, and, you know, thankfully he broke me of that desire, and he gave me the spirit of forgiveness. So, you know, the lawsuit is, you know, we're after stopping the behavior, but if the doctors and nurses who did this to Grace repented, we won, and that would just be a fantastic day.
Mm-hmm. What do you believe is really at stake with this lawsuit?
I think that's what's at stake is the potential to stop the behavior. And, you know, that's the goal. By exposing the corruption in the medical system, the standards of care, and also the corruption in the legal system, we're hoping to pave the way that we can break down the wall so that other people can utilize the system for justice. Mm-hmm. and ultimately stop the behavior. You can't stop the behavior unless individuals are held to account.
And what is your comment to those in the medical professional? There are many wonderful doctors, nurses, and those in various aspects of care that perhaps may even feel attacked by the things you said today.
The ones that have their heart in the right place have nothing to worry about.
Mm-hmm.
The ones that have been programmed to just follow orders, they have everything to worry about, because that's never been an acceptable view in God's economy.
Mm-hmm.
You can't follow orders as your excuse for hastening somebody's death.
Mm-hmm. And so you would encourage one's own independent research in these areas as well?
Absolutely. I mean, the doctors and nurses who want to do the same research that I've done will come to the same conclusion. I mean, you simply have to be a pursuer of the truth, and the truth will, you know, the doors will keep opening, and you'll come to the same conclusions. The problem is one of the barriers to the truth is thinking you already have it. So if you've been programmed by the system your entire life. It's very hard to remove those glasses and look at things objectively.
Mm-hmm. And have you tried to fight the determination on Grace's certificate?
Yeah, that's another great question. Thanks for asking that. I approached the coroner's office just with the simple request to meet, just to meet. And I would show them the evidence that I have, and they even denied meeting. They said they had to meet with their corporate counsel. The corporate counsel says, we don't want you to meet. I said, you can even bring the corporate counsel to the meeting. I don't care. I just want to be able to have the opportunity to meet. Mm-hmm. It's just the most simple thing, Jim. The doctor who ordered the med combination that killed Grace and wrote the illegal do not resuscitate order on Grace's life, he's the one who signed Grace's death certificate.
Right.
I mean, isn't that just the most simple, basic thing? Can't you just take a look at it?
Wow.
You know, so I, of course, I'd like to have the death certificate changed when this is all done to the truth.
Let's pick up one last call. Patrick in Winchester, Ohio, you're on the air.
I just want to thank you for your program. For those who don't know of alternatives to the current healthcare industry, the one I'm familiar with and a member of is Samaritan Ministries. These are need-sharing programs that are not insurance. That's all. Thank you.
Okay. Thank you very much. Scott, we're down to just a minute left in the program. What would you like to leave with our listeners today?
The most important thing I could share with anybody listening is to understand what God was doing with COVID. And this is the culmination of all my research, is that this is a spiritual battle. And COVID was a warning to all of us to repent. And that's what I believe the message is. I think God is in the process of judging our country deservingly so. So what does that mean? How did we get here? We got here by rejecting God. And so we can't think there's any way out of this other than through repentance. That's part of God's character. Mm-hmm. Once we repent, now we have some work to do. And Dietrich Bonhoeffer, I think, is the best one to quote here, because he said, silence in the face of evil is itself evil, and not to speak is to speak, not to act is to act. So we should all be speaking out, we should all be acting, but the first thing is our heart has to be right with God and realize that's how we got here, is rejecting God. You know, in Grace's specific case, I was fearful, and yeah. You know, I took Grace to the hospital based on fear, and God did not give us the spirit of fear, and I had to repent for that situation, Jim.
Scott, thank you so much for being with us today. Look forward to having you with us on television this coming Monday evening as well.
Thank you.
Scott Scherer with us today, and friends, again, ouramazinggrace.net is the website, ouramazinggrace.net or gracescherer.com. Thanks for listening to Crosstalk.
You've been listening to Crosstalk via satellite and the internet from VCY America. Views expressed may or may not be those of this station. For a CD of today's program, send a donation of $6 or more to VCY Tape Ministry, 3434 West Kilbourne Avenue, Milwaukee, Wisconsin, 53208, or download by RSS or podcast from crosstalkamerica.com. And join us again for Crosstalk.